Sorry, Betty. The passage I'm reading is from Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 5. And then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
Please pray with me. You, Father, are worthy of our love because you loved us first in Christ. You, Father, are worthy of our praise because you've taken away our sins and you've made us your own. You, Father, are worthy of our lives so that your glory and your honour might spread. And Father, we're asking now as we look at this word that you Lord, would bring the warmth of your Son into our hearts, that you would bring the brightness of your light into our eyes, and that you would bring the strength of your power to our lives, Lord. So work, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The way Luke chapter 11 commences is that it says, one day Jesus was praying. One day Jesus was praying. I'd just like you to think with me about the fact that Jesus often prayed, and this whole passage actually comes out of the example that Jesus shows of him praying. Many times it says, you know, it says in Luke chapter 5 and verse 16 that Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place and prayed. I think over the years as I've read that verse, I've read it that Jesus sometimes withdrew to a lonely place and prayed. But when I read it as I was preparing for this morning, I was thinking he often withdrew to a lonely place and he prayed. He was a man of prayer. In actual fact, Luke, more than any other gospel writer, displays Jesus' prayer life and emphasizes prayer in the life of Jesus. So, for example, when Jesus was being baptized, it says, and while he was praying, the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit came down on him. And it says that he was led out into the wilderness, and for 40 days he ate nothing. It doesn't say about prayer, but I think it's a safe bet that in those 40 days, this was a time of prayer. Do you know that time when he went up on the mountain and he took Peter, James and John up on the mountain, and it says that he took them up there and he took them up there to pray and he was transfigured? And do you remember that time just before that he chose his 12 disciples? It says that all night long, he prayed. He gave himself to prayer. And even as Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's pouring out his heart to God in prayer. And do you remember him on the cross and his arms stretched out on the cross? And do you remember what he prayed? In Luke tells us, Father, forgive them. So this man is always praying. Our Lord teaches us how to pray. And this disciple sees Jesus in prayer and he says, that is something else. And he says, Lord, could we please know how to pray too? Could we please be like you and learn what it is to be so close to the Father? Could we please know, Lord, what it is to reach out to heaven and see the goodness and the grace and the love of heaven come in power on earth? Could you please, Lord, teach us how to pray? And so you remember how Jesus starts. And he says, when you pray, say, Father. And Steve taught us last week and about the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be your name. And we went through it ourselves this morning, the Lord's Prayer. And then in this passage that's before us this morning that Bev read to us, we have Jesus speaking more about prayer. And it breaks itself up really into three sections. It's Jesus gives us a picture from earth, number one. Number two, an invitation from heaven. And number three, he tells us of the most precious gift that we could ever receive from God. And I'd like to look with you, first of all, about this picture that's from earth. This is what Jesus said in verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, suppose that you have a friend. So this is how that Jesus tells the story. Suppose you've got a friend. And notice that he puts you right in the story. You're the one that's got the friend. Now suppose that you have got a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. And so here it is, it's midnight. It's the most hopeless and dark hour of the day. And there's no lights. It's not like in our day where we've got street lights or whatever lights we can flick on. It's all plunged into darkness in this tiny village. And the reason he goes to his friend at midnight is because there's this real need. And I'll tell you the need. Another friend of his was traveling and has arrived and he doesn't have any bread to give the journeyman. And in that culture, I mean, Middle Eastern culture, is hospitality is something that is way beyond what we know in our Western culture. I mean, if someone arrives on your doorstep, hospitality is just right at the center of what you, how you're supposed to respond. But he's got this friend that's journeyed, we don't know how long, 20 Ks, 30 Ks, 50 Ks, and he's arrived there at midnight, exhausted. I don't know whether he's got his family with him, but he's got no bread. He's got nothing to lay before his friend. It's not a selfish need. It's not for him to say, I just want to upgrade my lounge suite. It's nothing like that. It's that he's, this friend of his has turned up and needs bread. And so here you are at midnight. You're outside. And inside, there's someone that's got this freshly baked bread. And you're thinking, I need the bread. I absolutely need the bread. And between you is this wall. And so you're knocking on the door. And what you need is the willingness of the one inside to open the door and give you the bread. That's what's at stake right now. That's what you need. But in this story that Jesus tells, the bloke inside is a grouch. And he's grumpy. And he says, I've locked the door. The door's already locked. And my children are in bed. I can't give you anything. It actually reminds me, I only remembered this morning actually, reminds me of a story my mum used to tell. My mum was born in Rand, which is about 100 and something Ks from here, not that far from Albury. And when she was a little girl, Woolies weren't a thing. And she told me that she remembered when she'd be with her dad, and they probably had one of the first cars in the district, and he would call at the shop after hours. I think it was the Walbundry shop or somewhere like that. And it was all shut up and closed. And her dad would knock on the door and say, open up, I need some groceries. And she said she remembers that she and her sister were so embarrassed that he would be knocking at the door when it was way after hours. But they would get up and they would give him whatever he wanted. And so this is the story that we've got in front of us here. We've got this guy, but now it's midnight. And the grumpy man inside says, actually, the doors are locked. And it's probably just a one room that they all live in. And he's asleep with his children in bed. All his family are asleep. And he says, no, don't bother me. Go away. I can't give you anything. But Jesus says in this account, he says, if you're in that situation, you're not going to take no for an answer. And you're going to keep knocking. This is what it says in verse 8. He says, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you bread because of your friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely give up and give you as much as you need. Even though he won't get up because you're his friend, it says that because you keep on knocking, because you keep on banging on that door, and you're saying to the guy, please get up. I've got this friend, and he's hungry, and he's come so far, and he needs bread. And so you're banging on the door, and you're knocking. And Jesus says, well, because of your persistence, your boldness, your shameless audacity, he will surely give up, get up and give you as much as you need. And then Jesus makes the application to us for prayer to God. Because, okay, in this earthly story, there's a grumpy man and he won't get up. But Jesus says, but your heavenly Father is different. He says, so I say to you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. Yes, God is actually eager to give. You've got needs here on earth. Great needs here on earth. I think there's everyone in this room right now. You've got needs here on earth. And God has got resources in heaven. And do you know what Jesus says? He says, the lesson seems to be bold. Be bold. Have this shameless audacity. You will receive through persistence in prayer what someone that just gives a little prayer and doesn't keep knocking will never receive. Do you know in the Bible there are quite a few examples of persistent prayer? Think with me about some of them. Some of them you know. Do you remember Hannah? Hannah couldn't have a baby. And in actual fact, it says that it went on year after year, year after year, that she couldn't have a baby. And she would have been praying. But one year, she prayed, and Eli the priest saw her, and he says, your prayer is going to be answered. Or think about Zechariah. Do you remember Elizabeth couldn't have a child? And it says that they were very, very old. They were old. And then the angel appears to Zechariah in the temple and says, your prayer has been heard. And I take that to mean that that couple had been praying persistently for a long time. Or think about Simeon and Anna. Do you remember when Jesus was born? Simeon, it says, had been waiting a long time for the Messiah. And Anna, it says of her, that she was 84 years old and all she did was she spent all her time in the temple fasting and praying. And she was old. She didn't just send up one little prayer, but this was persistent prayer. So we've got these models of people in the Bible that have prayed and prayed and prayed. So that leads us to, that's the earthly picture that Jesus gives us. But there's also this heavenly invitation, this invitation from heaven. And I'm going to read it to you again. It says, so Jesus says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. What amazes me about this prayer is that I thought that it would be saying something like, make sure that you know that you won't always get what you want in prayer, or don't ask for too much from God, because you've got to wait for your good things in heaven. But in actual fact, it's a shocking, lavish invitation here. It says, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened to you. In fact, it seems to be increasing intensity. It's saying, ask, yes, seek, yes, and even more, knock. And it seems to repeat it 6 times because it's ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened. And then it goes around another series and it says, for everyone who asks will receive, everyone who seeks will find, and everyone who knocks the door will be open to you. And so in a similar way that this guy in midnight is knocking and persisting, so in the same way, Jesus seems to be emphasizing, be bold, be persistent, don't give up too easily. God wants us to pray. And the most mature people that I know in Christ are people that have prayed for a long time. And they haven't just thrown up a prayer and sort of just thought, oh, I'll just move on now. I didn't get what I wanted. But they have prayed with persistent and bold prayer. The third thing that I want to mention is the best gift that Jesus sees that he could give us through, or the Father could give us. So in verse 11 it says, "Which of you fathers, if a son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Which of you fathers, let's say your little child comes to you and says, "Dad, could I have some fish?" Which of you will go and get a scorpion and just go, "Whoops, have a scorpion"? Or if the little kid comes to you and says, "Dad, could I please have an egg?" And you go and get a brown snake and you say, "There, have the brown snake." And then Jesus makes the application. If you then, though you are evil, and you probably are shocked and saying, "Well, why is Jesus calling us evil?" But Jesus knows that there's no perfect father in all the earth. He's the only perfect one. And if you have had an imperfect father, then you're not alone, because Jesus says, even though you're evil, even though you're imperfect father, you would never do, ever, never, ever give them a snake or a scorpion, then how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God is the giver of good gifts. There have been times in my life, and I think there have been times in your life, when God hasn't given what you asked for. I think of times when I said, "Lord, I'm asking for this thing," and it didn't eventuate and it didn't come. And I don't know all the answers to those questions, but I'll tell you one thing. One thing that is clear in this passage, and that is that God gives good gifts. Sometimes we think that we are the father and that he is the child, and that we'll tell him how to run the universe. And we say, "God, this is the way it's got to be. And if you don't hurry up and make it happen, then there's going to be a problem." But in here, God is the Father. And there's one thing that Jesus is making very clear, and that is that he's a good Father. And he's the best Father. And we've got even evil fathers would give their children good gifts. And he's the perfect Father. And so Jesus is encouraging us to come and ask and ask and be bold and continue to have faith even when discouragement comes, and to continue to believe in the goodness of God. Jesus said, "How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who asked him?" And maybe you thought, "Oh, I always thought he was going to give me help with my financial situation, or he was going to solve my health problems, or he was going to do this or that or the other." But you know what? God loves us to bring everything to him. But it seems like Jesus is saying, "Yes, but this is the supreme gift. This is the greatest gift. This is the gift." That, can you imagine this? That through the death and rising of Christ, the very Spirit of God, the Spirit that existed all before time and before anything was created, the Holy Spirit, God, Jesus is saying the Father will give you this Spirit. He's the ultimate good gift. So powerful and so good that he gives us life and he gives us peace And the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom, and the Holy Spirit helps us with our prayer even. So now we've got the Holy Spirit and he can help us. You know, the scriptures say that we don't even know what to pray half the time, but the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness and helps us to pray. And the Holy Spirit gives us power. And so my encouragement for us all this morning is, I was talking to someone after the first service, and he said, you know, sometimes I pray, but they're weak little prayers, and I don't persist, and I give up. And he said, I can hear that God is saying to me, I need to be bold. I need to persist. I need the Holy Spirit to help me with my prayers. And I think we as a church, you know, this word of Christ saying, how much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him, is an encouragement to me. I've received the Holy Spirit by God's grace. And so have you if you've believed in Christ. But I long to be filled with the Spirit. I long to be filled afresh with the Spirit of God. And we as a church long to be have the Holy Spirit filling us so that we are people of courage, we're people of love, we're people of joy, we're people of peace, we're people of hope, we're people of praise, because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. My desire with this little series that we're doing on prayer is not for anyone to feel guilted, because it's so easy. None of us feel as though our prayer lives are what they need to be. Not one of us. But this is an encouragement, really, from our Lord to say, don't give up, be bold, continue to persist, continue to cry out to God in prayer, and continue to believe that God is the God who gives good gifts. That's his word to us, a beautiful gift, that we would be part of the extension of God's kingdom for his glory. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have communion together. Lord, you've given us this gift of prayer. And so with these others gathered here, we're saying, Lord, would you please give us afresh the Spirit, the Holy Spirit for our lives? Would you give us the Holy Spirit so we would know even how to pray and how to cry out to you? Would you please give us the Holy Spirit that we would live and we would be a people of love, of courage, a people that bring healing to a broken world? Lord, we want to be different, and we're asking for the gift of the Spirit, oh God, in Jesus' name. Amen.